him that is invisible. We want to see God's grace superabound in us in the times of persecution for the glory of God. That's why verse 15 through 18 says, "For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many rebound to the glory of God." We don't faint because of our restoration of the inner man that is the place enabling us to see the unseen. Our inner man is the place that enables us as Christians to see with spiritual eyes the things that cannot be seen with physical eyes. Verse 16 of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. "For which cause we faint not, but through our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." Verse 17, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." While, verse 18, "while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Christian, how was Moses showing faith or enabled to show faith in God's purpose for his life of being the tool which God would deliver his people out of the mighty hand of the Egyptians? He was able, through the grace of God, to see that which was invisible. Are you able, by faith, as a Christian, to be led by that which is invisible to the physical eye? Are you preparing yourself right now by the yielding of the Holy Spirit and the direction of the Holy Spirit to be led by the invisible? So when those perilous times come, when those times of persecution come, you can stand strong because God's unmerited, unfathomable grace, or unthinkable grace, we can't even comprehend it. We can't fathom how great his grace is to us and what it can carry us through. Faith, first, faith produced insight in Moses' parents to see he was a proper child. Second, faith produced a response of refusal to titles and prestige. Third, faith produced the ability to let go of Egypt. Fourth, faith produced a taking of the Passover. Hebrews 11:28. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. So faith produced the taking of the Passover in Moses' life. Now I want to take a moment to step back and look at the big picture. To understand God's big picture, we need to see some points of his character and his dealing with men, setting up the explanation to how Moses showed faith in taking the Passover. So God's underlying purpose in history is his glory. Two ways that he accomplishes his glory is through judgment and redemption. And sometimes he gives redemption during judgment. Passover is a story of deliverance and redemption during judgment, as well as the cross. Now Malachi 6:3. Oh, that's great. That's not even in 3:6. Malachi 3:6. Wow. Let me change that. If you guys get the notes, it's 3:6, not 6:3. "For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." Right? So we know through this verse a truth. The truth is, God's character is always the same. But he also can choose to involve himself in the affairs of men in different ways. An example of how this is done is salvation. Salvation has always been, by grace through faith, made possible through the blood of Christ alone. However, that doesn't mean that a holy God doesn't change and adjust how he administers judgment and redemption for sinful man as history develops and his program for glory gradually becomes more clear. God executes judgment and redemption both at the Passover and the cross. The administration of both were to offer redemption during judgment, but one administration was a picture of Christ for redemption, and the other was the person of Christ for our redemption. So God inflicted judgment upon at Passover? A lamb that would picture him administrating judgment for redemption on the cross, on a what type? Not a lamb, but a person. All right? Picture person. Picture person. Old Testament picture, New Testament person. Why? Because God never changes, but his glory is revealed at different times to us, and his plan is revealed and administrated to us at different times for his glory. A broad overview to help us understand God's administration through history is Eden, global administration, theocratic administration, church age administration, and restored theocracy, and then finally, Eden restored to the everlasting state. I want to hone in the theocracy. What is a theocracy? And how will God administrate the theocracy? Theocracy, or theocratic kingdom, is a form of national government where God is king and the people of the nation are his subjects. Ancient Israel is a theocratic nation. First of all, we can see it's a theocratic nation because it was guaranteed and promised by the Abrahamic covenant in Genesis 12 and verse 2. And I will make to thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be blessed. Second, the establishment of the Mosaic covenant in Exodus 6, 2 through 8. And God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord. And I appear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty, but my name Jehovah was I not known to them. And I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, wherein they were strangers. And have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians have kept in bondage, and I have remembered my covenant. Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgment. And I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out of under the burdens of Egyptians. And I'll bring you unto the land concerning that which I did swear to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, and I'll give it to you for a heritage. I am the Lord. So what is God showing here through the Mosaic covenant? That he would be the king of Israel, and that he would have representatives, sometimes prophets, sometimes through Moses, representatives who did not draw their source of power from themselves, but drew their source of power from God. Romans chapter 13 is about nations that are governed by people that don't draw their authority from themselves, but draw their authority from God. If we have a nation that is commanding us to go opposite of what we know God is calling us to do, we do not follow that government. Why? Because their only source of power and their edicts and their direction for us to do comes from God. So if they do not follow God, we follow God rather than men. So we see the Abrahamic covenant was a promise of theocratic or God ruling the people of Israel. The Mosaic covenant. There was a modification in the Davidic covenant in 2 Samuel chapter 7. Now, the theocratic kingdom of Israel was suspended for disobedience to the Mosaic covenant. You can read this in Leviticus 26, 31 through 45, when he promised to take away their place if they disobeyed God and place judgment upon them for a period of time. Deuteronomy 28, verse 64 through 68 says, "And the Lord shall scatter thee among all people, for the one from the one end of the earth even unto the other. And there thou shalt serve other gods, which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, even wood and stone. And among these nations shalt thou find no ease, neither shall the sole of the foot have rest. But the Lord shall give thee there a trembling heart and failing of eyes and sorrow of mind. And thy life shall hang in doubt before thee, and thou shalt fear day and night, and shall have no assurance of thy life. In the morning thou shalt say, Would God it were even, and at even thou shalt say, Would God it were morning. For the fear of thine heart wherewith thou shalt fear, and for the sight of thine eyes which thou shalt see. And the Lord shall bring thee into Egypt again with ships, by the way whereof I spoke unto thee shalt see. Thou shalt see. And the Lord shall bring thee into Egypt." So we read this. We also see this in Jeremiah 52 and Ezekiel chapter 10. So it was suspended. This kingdom of Israel was suspended because of disobedience to God. And now we are in the church age, and God is working through his church. However, we are not the kingdom of Israel. We do not replace the kingdom of Israel. There are promises given to the kingdom of Israel that are for the kingdom of Israel. I am stressing that because there is an anti-Semitic running through churches today that I feel very uncomfortable with. Why? Because they think the church replaced Israel. We did not replace Israel. 4th, the fourth theatic kingdom for Israel will be restored through the new covenant in the future. Jeremiah 29:33, Ezekiel 48:40-48, Acts 1:6-8. Let's go to Romans chapter 11:26-27. Says of Romans 11, "And so all Israel shall be saved, as is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. As concerning the gospel, they are our enemies for your sakes, but as touching the election, they are beloved of the Father's sakes." I don't know, and I'm not trying to be too critical, because I do think that there are some Reformed churches that are trying to evangelize and do everything they can, but I don't know how you twist. Well, actually, I do. But I don't understand how you twist this to say the church replaced Israel. I just don't understand it, and they don't understand my position. But I'm trying to take the word of God and just believe it as it is written. Amos chapter 9. 14 and 15. And I will bring again the captivity of my people of Israel, and they shall build the waste cities, inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and drink the wine thereof. They shall also make gardens and eat the fruit of them. And I will plant them upon their land, and they shall no more be pulled up out of their land, which I have given them, saith the Lord thy God. Now we started Some of you were born in 1948 when Israel came back into the land, although most of you probably were very young if you were born at that time. And you remember in April 5th through the 10th of 1967 when the League of Nations, the Arabic League of Nations, tried to take over Israel with a vastly superior force of arms, and in 6 days Israel was able to defeat them through the power of God. Why? Because God brought them into the land, and I can tell you by the faith of what God has told us, and in faith, they won't be taken out of that land. So what am I saying here? God has a special plan for Israel. Now, Christ suspended Israel's theocratic kingdom, and it's during this suspension that Christ will build his church. Matthew 16, 18, and I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates shall not prevail against it. The church isn't made up of just Israel, but all nations. You can read this in Ephesians 2, 11 through 22. The church is a mystery. In Ephesians 3, 1 through 13, the church will be raptured up in 1 Thessalonians 4, 1 and 1 Corinthians 15, 51 through 52. Also, you can read Revelations 3, 10. All right. Christ will judge the world and bring Israel to repentance. And then what will Christ do? Christ will bring in his kingdom and restore Israel to fullness into the land at this time. Now, I went through all this because I want to take time to discuss the time period of Moses' life when he displays faith in taking the Passover. Then we will close with an introduction to next week's sermon. So Exodus 6, 6 through 7 is amazing, and I have to change that. It's not Deuteronomy, it's Exodus 6, 6 through 7. It's an amazing passage concerning the Passover, and it displays the faith in God that Moses showed. And we will introduce how Christ is that Passover lamb, and how and why he fulfills all the symbols in the Passover next week. Okay? Exodus 6, 6 through 7 says this: Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of Egypt, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgment, and I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bring you out of the land, out from under the burden of the Egyptians. Moses has been rejected by Pharaoh and Israelites leaders in chapter 5 of Exodus. He goes to Pharaoh. Pharaoh says, forget you. In fact, I'm so angry that you would come up with this. You must have so much time on your hand that I'm not working you hard enough. So I'm going to take away straw that I've been supplying for you to make bricks, and you're going to have to come up with your own straw to make bricks for my cities. All right? How did the leaders of Israel respond to this? They were happy about it, right? No, they were upset at Moses. And here Moses is being rejected. 40 years of his life, the first 40 years, he's brought up in great education with great ability to speak. And for the past 40 years, he's been on the backside of the desert to the place where he has lost his ability of speaking. Remember, he said, God, I can't do this because I stutter. That's what happens when you talk to lambs for 40 years. But as he's out there and he's thinking about this man has been beaten down. He doesn't have self-confidence, okay? That's why I don't spend a lot of time talking about self-confidence. We have God confidence, not self-confidence. The church is being destroyed by the self-confidence nonsense that's being taught. We don't have self-confidence, we have God confidence. And as we look at this and as we see this, here he is in a very low point, and who shows up? God shows up and gives him peace and gives him the ability to know God's plan. Now, temporally, or with his physical eyes, does he see the plan of God working out in his life right now? He's been rejected by the king of Egypt and rejected by the elders of Israel. This is a high time for Moses, right? No, it's very low. But he knows, and God shows up and tells him, this is my plan. How does that happen in the New Testament age? We read the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit brings out the Word of God and encourages us by the Word of God. And we have a peace that passes all understanding during this time. Well, why Moses has been rejected by Pharaoh again in Israel leaders in chapter 5. God comes to Moses to show Moses his plan. Now, why does God want to use Israel in his plan? Exodus chapter 19, 3 through 6 tells us why. And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, ye have seen that what I did unto Egypt, and how I bore you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine, and you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and holy nations. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. So God chose Israel because all the earth is his. And he wanted to lift up to the earth a peculiar, special people so that they could see that he was the true God. All the rest of the nations could look to Israel and see that he was the true God and that he would bless his people. Now, we see that Christ proclaims the meaning of the elements taken at the Passover in Matthew 26, 26 through 29, also in John 1 and verse number 29. Why? Well, we see the elements of the Passover is his blood in the cup, right? And his body in the bread, as they're taking and observing the Passover. 1 Corinthians 5, 7 through 8 says, purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. So let's take both the New Testament and see if I can draw some points from the tradition of the Passover explained by Christian Jews, and see how it fits into helping Moses have faith in a God of deliverance. Because by faith, the Bible tells us, he took the Passover. Exodus 6, 6 through 7 is used as a fence post to lead many Jewish people through the Passover of remembrance. This is pictured by four cups. First, the cup of sanctification. I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of Egypt. And the Egyptians. Now, these are Christian Jews, peculiar from Friends of Israel, that I've watched the Passover. I've watched them do the Passover, explaining all the elements and how they would fit, and even how Christ would have taken the Passover, according to their knowledge of Jewish tradition and their knowledge of the Word of God. Okay? So they could be wrong, but I think they're probably right. So that's why I'm using it. So, during the Passover, the remembrance. Now, we have to remember there's a difference between the actual Passover and them remembering the Passover. Right? The actual Passover takes place in Exodus chapter 12. We will go through all of that next week and explain that. There's five different mentions of the Passover, and each one of them have a different element that is brought into it. The first Passover, for instance, people from Egypt could partake of the Passover. When the Passover is commemorated, what happens? Well, they would have to be circumcised in order to be able to take the Passover. So they had to become Jewish. The first Passover, they didn't have to do that. But as God's glory is revealed in a more way, the administration of the Passover becomes different and the remembrance of that Passover. So on Christ Day, there's a certain way that they take the Passover. I would encourage you guys to watch a Passover done by Friends of Israel. You can see it on YouTube. It's very, very interesting and I think very helpful to understand more of this. So the second cup is the cup of rescue that they would read from Exodus 6, 6 through 7. And I will rid you out of their bondage. The third cup is the cup of redemption. And I will redeem you with stretched out arms and with great judgment. Fourth is the cup of restoration. And I will take you to me for a people and I will bring you to you a God. If Christian Jewish scholars are right, Jesus was observing the Passover in Matthew 26. He would have drinking the first three cups, but not the fourth, and he'll drink the fourth cup when he comes into the land to restore Jerusalem to the land. So what, very quickly, what is Moses showing by faith? Well, he's showing that God has sanctified himself a people by keeping the Passover. He's showing that he believes God will rescue them by faith. He is showing that God will redeem them by faith, by taking the Passover. And fourthly, he is showing by faith that God will restore to them a land. So by faith, Moses took the Passover. Next week we'll get into the elements of the Passover and how we as Christian by faith show that we believe in the Lamb of the Passover when we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for how it spoke to us and what it means to us. We just pray that you'd use it in a great and mighty way. In Jesus' precious name and for his glory and honor do we pray this. In Jesus' name, amen. 337 for closing hymn.